I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, please. Psalm 23 is David's summary of his personal relationship with the Lord. And he says, because of that relationship, I shall not want. I'll not be in need. All that I need is found in him. He is a sufficient shepherd. In Psalm 23, then, in the next two verses, verse 2 and verse 3, there are four times that you'll find the word he. And in these two verses, he's going to further describe his shepherd. In verse 2, he is my providing shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And in verse 3, he is my restoring shepherd. And this is all the more necessary because there is a treacherous enemy within me who dresses as my closest ally and advisor, who's privy to all that I know, who knows my likes and my dislikes. In many ways, that flesh, that law of sin, that body of sin that lives in me is like a man called Vidkun Quisling. I'm not making his name up. He was a politician in Norway in 1940. He was, in fact, the Norwegian defense minister. And he dressed as if he was a loyal Norwegian when, in fact, he was aiding Germany in its plan to invade his country. Mr. Quisling continued in high office throughout the duration of the German occupation of Norway until 1945. He was despised by his countrymen, and eventually after the war he was tried and executed for treason. He dressed as their ally, but was in fact their enemy. And so your flesh and my flesh, though it dwells in us, is an enemy within. And I'm telling you this because verse 3 tells us that our shepherd is sufficient in his activity to deal with that wandering heart that is within us, to deal with our backsliding, to deal with those times in my life when I drift or I grow lukewarm. David describes his shepherd as the restorer of his soul. And there are three things that I'd like us to see from this one text this morning. I'd like us to see and understand that we're making an assumption when we go into this verse. And secondly, there is an implication. There's something applied that we should understand. And then finally, we should understand that there are some applications that we should make from the Lord being my restorer. So what is the assumption that I should understand? You and I, as the reader of Psalm 23, should understand this assumption. It assumes that the reader has a personal relationship with the shepherd. This isn't a quaint story about sheep. It isn't talking about people universally as if the Lord is the shepherd for everybody. It is not even talking about born-again Christians generally. It is talking about you. If you look again in the verse, it says, he restoreth my soul. It is your relationship with God as your shepherd. And it assumes that this relationship has begun. So how does one enter into a relationship with the Lord as their shepherd. To enter into a relationship with God as your Savior is through Jesus alone. John 14:6, Jesus, in his own words, says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the only way. He is the only truth. This is also a relationship that is entered into by grace without works. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then number three, thirdly, it is assuming that this relationship has begun, has been established, because the reader has received by faith the Lord Jesus as their Savior. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You cannot assume you have God as your shepherd unless you have Jesus as your Savior. There's no other way that God provides salvation than through his Son. Have you trusted Jesus? Is your trust in him alone as your Savior today? So we're assuming, as we read this, we should assume that the reader has this personal relationship that is described. Do you have this personal relationship? Then secondly, there is a second thing that we should see, that we should understand, that is implied. If he restores my soul, it is implying that there is a need for restoring. Where it exists in my life, he is active to restore my soul. And that's important for four reasons. It's important to understand this implication. Number one, that we should look to the Lord, not other things or solutions, to restore our wanderings, to fix our backslidings, to help us in our sorrows. Part of the problem that we have is that we are sheep-like and we're prone to wander. And the interesting thing about sheep, when they wander, they don't come back. They just go on to wander further. Much of our wandering from the Lord is caused by our discontent with God and his providences in our lives. And we turn in our discontentment to our own solutions, our own ways. And so the first thing that's implied in this scripture, where there is a need for restoration, it's important to turn to the Lord. It's important to turn to the one who restores my soul. Secondly, this is important that we understand that this is implied. What should we be restored from? From what? Our growth in the Lord is step by step. It's a progressive path, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus as we, by faith and steps of obedience, seek to please the Lord in our lives. But our backsliding works in a similar way. Our backsliding is also bit by bit. Sometimes it comes through sorrowing. Sometimes it comes when grace is low. Sometimes grief plays a role. Sometimes when we're discouraged and we're cast down, or when there's weariness. I don't know if this strikes a chord with you, but when I was out shoveling on Saturday morning, I thought that spring was just around the corner. And the winter blues were starting to get to me. And we need to be restored from our down times, our discouraged times, our weariness. And to what? Number three, to what should we be restored? To be restored to fellowship with God and to a delight in His ways, for Him to renew us, revive us, refresh and strengthen us. If you would please keep your finger here in Psalm 23 and turn to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. In that verse, the Lord is addressing the church at Ephesus. And though this church was busy and though they were staying true to the doctrine, Revelation chapter 2 verse 5, the Lord calls them to remember, because verse 4, they had left their first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works. There are times when it is good for us to remember, but it also is a painful course for us to remember times when we have times and ways of devotion that we have wandered from, when we have become cold, when our love for God is low, when prayer becomes a burden, when we witness it becomes such a dreaded thing. And so to be restored, it's being restored to that eagerness to serve. When Jesus' name is sweet to us, when telling others about Him is a joy, and prayer is a delight, and His word is like a lamp to our feet. And then fourthly, the fourth thing that we should understand that is implied in this need for restoration, and that is that the Lord is, in contrast to non-involvement, He is a specialist. He is the great physician of our soul. There is true restoring, reviving and refreshing, and all that is true and all that is reviving, it comes from Him. He is the fount of every blessing. He's a specialist in restoring. He is my shepherd. So we assume that you as a reader, you as a hearer of this, have a personal relationship, the relationship that's described here with the Lord as your shepherd. Number two, there are implications that we should understand, that there is a need for restoring, and where it exists in my life, He is active to bring that restoring about. And then thirdly, let me ask us to consider, back in Psalm 23, some applications of this. If you go back, please, to Psalm 23 and verse 3, it contains no command. It has no exhortation. This text is saying that the Lord is the active one. He is sufficient to bring about restoring of my inner man and the needs of my inner man. But I should also understand, in application to this, that I'm the one who is to thirst for God. If you turn to Psalm 42 and verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? In that same psalm, verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. I think that there are times in our lives where instead of being passive, instead of just letting other things about us or in you tell us how things are, if we're morose or we're down, that there is a responsibility, an application that we should make on talking to ourselves, talking scripture truth about who God is, to address this process of restoring. The Lord does it, but I'm also involved in speaking to myself, not passive. Another application, secondly, is to remove what you know is grieving your relationship with the Lord. 1 John 1:9 tells us that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord is the source of reviving. He's the source of restoring. But it works, He works through your cooperating responsibility to confess your sin. You have His promise that He will forgive you. You have His promise that He will accept and forgive and restore. You'll not be left wanting. If you've slidden away, if you've wandered off, if your heart has grown cold, if that is because of known sin, then we should confess it, believing His promise that He will forgive and restore. Please turn to Psalm 119, our third application, Psalm 119, verse 176. 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. The third application is the Lord is the restorer, but there is a cooperating responsibility I have to request that He seek me and restore me. To seek thy servant, that scripture says, for I do not forget your commandments. The same is stated in Psalm 85 and verse 7. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in you? Because He is the restorer, I should be active in asking Him, Lord, don't let me have my own way. Don't let me wander off. If I am living in ignorance of something in my life, help me to see it, that I would not wander away from you. A fourth application is found in another message of the Lord Jesus to one of the churches in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, this time not addressing the church at Ephesus, but addressing the church at Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Remember, please, that this is the lukewarm church, the church that was neither hot nor cold. And in verse 19, Jesus says to them, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. To the lukewarm church, the words of the Lord are to repent and be zealous. Be zealous in this relationship. God is not an electricity that I can turn Him on and off. He is not a computer that I punch buttons to get a predicted outcome. He is not my equal as one who would give His life for me. He is my Creator. My life is not about becoming a great sheep. My life is not about self-improvement. My life is about Him. And if you're back in Psalm 23, verse 3, it says, not only does He restore my soul, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's for His glory, His testimony. And then a fifth application is found in Psalm 19 and verse 7. Psalm 19 and verse 7 speaks about the role that the Word of God has in bringing about this restoring. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I should be aware that though all restoring is of the Lord, I have a cooperating responsibility through the place and space I'm giving in my inner man to the Word of God. Psalm 119 repeatedly speaks of quickening, refreshing, reviving coming through the Word of God. I'm only going to list these for you. Verse 25, verse 154, verse 93, 149, 159. All these verses in Psalm 119 speak of the role that the Word of God has in enlivening, in restoring, in reviving the believer. And there are two scriptures particularly, Psalm 119, verse 107, and Psalm 119, verse 50, speaks specifically about being quickened in affliction through the Word of God. Many times when we have been out on an errand in Liverpool, we'll take the scenic route home through Tupper Street. Tupper Street is the one that goes up from the river and then over a hill into Milton. And there are some properties on that street that have wrecked vans and trucks and parts of buses and cars sitting out in their yard. And maybe at one time they were taken to that place, and perhaps there was a thought to restore them. Maybe they were going to do some body work. Maybe they were going to fix the brakes. Maybe they would get a new exhaust and put it on there. But there they sit, sunk down into the earth, covered in the snow of the past three snowfalls, unmoved for years, still in need of restoration. If you're worn down, if you're backslidden, if you feel that your heart has grown cold and you've wandered from the Lord, you don't have to stay in a place of restoration. You have a specialist in your shepherd. He restores my soul. Don't become discontent, looking after other things, wandering, looking to something else. Maybe you think, well, if I lived in a different place, that would make it better. If I was with a different person, that would make it better. If I didn't have the same health problems, that would make it better. If I didn't have the same money problems or location problems or home problems, then it would be better. The Lord is the one who restores. The Lord is the specialist. And He's calling you to remember that. He's calling you to turn to Him. He's calling you, even if it would be to request His help because you're concerned about it. And can I remind you that the way that David describes his relationship with the shepherd is, He's all I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's all I need when I go through times of affliction. He's all that I need when I'm in times of sickness. He's all that I need when I'm sad, when I'm depressed, when I'm worn out. He's all that I need in the Canadian winter. That's a specific application for you when you're shoveling. He's all that I need when I'm sluggish. He's all that I need when I'm worn down and find it hard to pray. He's all that I need when I'm backslidden. He's all that I need when there's sin in my life and I need to be forgiven. He's all that I need. He is the one who restores my soul. Would you bow with me, please, in prayer?